Well, we like Richard talked about it. We're going to talk from the book of Proverbs. And the part that John Yang, well, he just stepped out. But John Yang and I are going to teach the class. And I'll start tonight because the part that we're going to talk about is self-control. As we're going to talk about in the book of Proverbs. John Yang will talk next week about anger. I'm not sure if it's going to be the fourth week or how that's going to work. We'll figure that out. But John Yang is going to teach the next class on anger. I'll teach the last class on discipline of the temple. And tonight we're going to talk about the tongue. And which is going, as I was studying this out and reading, I'm like, oh gosh, this is convicting. I'm very convicted by it, and I hope that you feel the same way. But it's going to be very encouraging. Like I said, what's going to happen is that we're going to teach the class for 3 weeks. And then teachers are going to rotate. So another set of teachers are going to come in and teach another 3 weeks. Then finally we're going to end up the last 3 weeks. And then, you know, it'll go for 9 weeks. But I hope everybody gets a lot out of it. I think I appreciate Gary Roberson really thinking about it this way. I'm sure he has some help from the elders and everybody too. But to really think of teaching Proverbs this week. I never thought about Proverbs this way. I always thought chapter 1, then chapter 2, then chapter 3, and go through it. But this is a very good way to go by subject matter to really tackle Proverbs and tackle some of the things that the scriptures talk about. So at this time, let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you so much for your encouragement, your blessing, your love. Thank you so much for all those that are here. And while we're here in the basement part, that I pray so much, Father, that you would just help and move our hearts to grow closer to you. Thank you so much for the more the intimate setting that we really could grasp and learn your word. Really grow in the way that you want us to grow. Proverbs is a very important set of scriptures in the Bible, an important book in the Bible, right. And I pray so much that we'll be able to get a lot out of it, be very encouraged by it, and just moved by it, God. Thank you so much once again for all your blessings, your encouragement, and I pray this in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yeah. All right, first ground rule is that I use a lot of scriptures. You ask me to speak for like a minute, no problem. I have to speak for 5 minutes. I could do that. You tell me this talk for 30 to 40 minutes, like I'm going to need some material. And so I have to use a lot of scriptures, and we're going to look at a lot of different scriptures from the book of Proverbs to help us understand so that we could get a good grasping of it. But let's look at James chapter 3 before we get into Proverbs. In James chapter 3, and starting in verse 1. And James 3, verse 1, it says, not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn a whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. See, the thing about it is that the tongue is very little. I mean, the tongue and all different parts of the body, elaborate parts of the body, from the kidney to heart and all these different organs and bones and all these different things that are functioning, the tongue is a very little part. But it is very powerful. And the tongue is a very powerful thing. It says, with our tongue, we can praise the Lord. We can praise our Lord, our Father. then with that same tongue we can curse man. And that should not be, because that's a hypocrite. That's somebody that's hypocritical, that could actually praise God and praise our Father and then curse men. I know, I see someone like that. That's kind of strange. That's not good. Even as a kid, I knew that wasn't right. Like, how in the world are you going to be able to praise God and then as soon as you step outside the church, you're going to cut somebody out? Or the people would sometimes say, well, boy, if I wasn't in church, if I wasn't in church, I'd cuss them out. So church makes the difference? That it should be more than that. That it comes to that than just, okay, I'm in a building, so therefore I could be righteous. But I step outside the building, then I will say what I want to say. And if we're going to be disciples, represent Jesus, we must have control of the tongue. And things we're going to look at tonight is, as I study subject matters, I like to look at what I'm going to need to be convicted by. I like to see first. Let me read some hardline scriptures, some things really going to convict my heart, help move me. And then I start looking at the things, okay, what do I need to become? So that I'm not just discouraged, but I find a way to be encouraged. And so that's what I want to do with this. We're going to talk about the things about the tongue that's not good, that's not of God, that's not godly. Then we're also going to talk about the ways that our tongue can be used in order to praise God. And so the thing about it is that I think about the tongue, and it is such an evil. Because remember this morning, wife's not feeling well, and so I'm making my son breakfast, making pancakes, and I don't make it like mama. Mama makes the best pancakes. My wife makes the best pancakes, make it way better than I can. But I'm doing my best. And so my son's nervous about it. So he always standing over the stove and he kind of looking, and all of a sudden he starts telling me, well, you got to do this with the pancakes, you got to do that. And like, don't worry about it. I've been making pancakes. Don't even worry. Go ahead and do what you got to do. Don't worry about the pancakes. And I think I'm just trying to make it light, not trying to be unnerving, whatever. All of a sudden, he goes into the living room, and my wife knows his head all down, and he's all discouraged. I hurt his feelings by the way that I said it. And how did I come across? Did I come across loving? And I'm thinking, it wasn't a big deal. Not to him, but for me, it wasn't a big deal to me, him saying that. It wasn't like I've been stewing over it the day before, and now he told me something again. I'm going to fix this little boy. That wasn't my heart at all. Or even after I said it, it wasn't like I stood on it for a while. You know how you say things and you kind of keep on replaying your mind and who they think they are? I can't believe that. That wasn't me at all. I said it, we moved on and everything. At least I thought, but it hurt his feelings. And I thought, man, I just was studying this morning, getting ready for this lesson about the tongue, and there I am, right here, saying something that hurt my son's feelings when I had even no intention of doing it. And I thought, what reminded me of this scripture is that, man, even when sometimes you try to do what's right, or you try to make things light, or whatever, still you end up blowing it, and still end up not saying what needs to be said. And I just thought, man, tongue is a restless evil. I tell you what, just try to tame it. But, like I said, is that there are things that God wants to show us that really want to help us to be able to grow closer to Him. And first thing about the tongue is that the tongue can be malicious. It's full of malice. Because in James 3, 1 through 11, it says the tongue is a fire. It's a world of evil. It corrupts the whole person. It sets the whole course of life, of his life, on fire. It is itself set on fire by hell. It's a restless evil. It's full of deadly poison. Not a lot of good things are said about the tongue in James. That's what is used to describe the tongue in the book of James. But one thing I thought about is that how does the tongue get to be that way? Well, let's look at Matthew chapter 12. And we're going to see what Jesus says about it. In Matthew 12 and in verse 33. And in verse 33 it says, make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, who are evil, say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give account on a day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. See, Jesus said you could recognize a tree by its fruit. That's very easy. You go to that tree, you can recognize its fruit. Same thing with us. By what we say, we can be recognized. Is this person a true disciple or are they not? One of the things that's deep is that this guy at work, and I didn't, you know, just hear me talking and everything like that. And one time I was riding the car, he said, oh, Joseph don't curse. I never told him that. But he had been around me enough and never heard a cuss word come out my mouth. He thought, oh, Joseph don't do that. I said, very good. I'm glad you recognize that I don't do that. And that's good. That's from God. I wouldn't be that way if it wasn't for God. But that's the recognition. And I know that people could recognize other things about us, whether good or bad, just by the things that come out of our mouths. And what it comes from is that good comes from inside, and the bad comes from inside. Where it comes from is our hearts. Because the tongue by itself just don't go off and work by itself. What comes is out of the heart. Because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. I think about this. What happened this morning. What happened was that, really, by doing that, it was frustrating me. And as much as I was trying to make light of it, not make it a big deal, because it really wasn't a big deal to me, still what came out was the frustration. Didn't intend for it to come out, but that's what came out. Because that was in the heart, that's what came out. And that's the way that the heart works, and that's the way the tongue works as a result of the heart. And so you really examine yourself and think about, how do you talk to your kids? How do you talk to your kids? Do you talk to them in any kind of way? Or you really try to be loving and compassionate like Jesus in the way that you speak? Still be stern, but you can be stern in a loving way. Look at Jesus as that example. Jesus was very stern. But Jesus did not call people by their names or anything like that. Jesus was very stern, but he was very spiritual and righteous as he did it. What about our spouse? Sometimes I can hear where, and even amongst some people that were disciples, or, you know, city disciples, is talked down about their spouse. And I know right now, oh, they can't be that close to God if they're saying those things to their spouse. But what about us? What about our parents? You know, sometimes we're growing up in households where we just didn't hold our parents, high esteem, and we just say anything to our parents. What do we say to them? What about our friends? Some friends we can have around where they can just say loose things. Do we go back and say the same things too? Our brothers and sisters. More convicting is people we don't like. Because it's very easy just to go in and just say whatever to somebody you don't like. You don't care about their feelings. You don't care about what they think. You don't care about how they feel about you, and to take on that heart and that attitude. But when you think about Jesus, what about our heart then? Do you spend more time encouraging or discouraging? What I think about is, do you talk about and say things that are more positive than a negative? Do you spend more time building up or tearing down? And that's a good indicator for me. Sometimes to stop and think, man, I've been saying a lot of negative stuff. And this not right, and that not right, and this not right, and that not right. And that's the first thing I think. That's the first thing I say. I'm thinking, ugh, my heart's not in the right place. I need to get my heart in the right place. I need to get close to the guy. I need to start reading some scriptures. I need to start saying what's positive, what's encouraging, to have that come out instead of just being negative and being critical on everything that I see. Because like Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And what's very convicting about this is in verse 37, it says, by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. And, you know, think about the careless words that are being said, the things that are being said, that I'm going to be held accountable for this. This is not something that's just going to be said and let go and it's off, you know, into nowhere, but this is something that's going to stick. How many of us, even in ourselves, remember when we were kids, things that, whether it's parents or aunts and uncles or even kids, that they said and it still if you think about it, still bothers you today. Think about those words, still like, ooh, man, I can't believe they said that. Or things you may have said at some point, say, ooh, I can't believe I let that out of my mouth. But I say, have to be careful of the words that we say. Look at Proverbs chapter 12.
Come on, Joe.
In Proverbs 12, and in verse 18. In verse 18 it says, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Never really thought about words piercing like a sword. But it does. That the words end up doing that. And what happens so many times is that we end up being the opposite of James 1:19. Instead of being slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to become angry, we end up being quick to speak, slow to listen, and quick to be angry. We end up doing the very opposite of what that scripture says. And most of the time, that's where the reckless words come from. And especially with me, I know that what I'm thinking, I say it immediately, uh-oh, that should have been said. Got in trouble with it all the time as a kid. Until one time in, you know, about 6 or 7, epiphany hit me. You know what? If I think before I speak, I get in a whole lot less trouble. Wow, that's pretty cool, okay. And to put that into practice. Sometimes, boy, but I didn't get hit in the mouth as much. You know, there were just so many things I would just say, and just whatever I felt, that's what I said. And I thought, you know, I'm getting tired of getting disciplined for this. I'm getting tired of this. If I need to just be quiet for a second and think before I say, then I'll be in much better shape. But that's sometimes with us, is that could be the difference. And even if we should stop, it'll help us analyze things and think about what we say before we say it, because once it's out there, you can't take it back. Yeah. You can apologize all day long, but the effect of what's said is still hanging out there. Mm-hmm. And there's things that I wish I could just take back and just erase, write it back, and like, okay, now start over again, I see something different, and that person would not hear it. But it's out there already. It's been said, it's already been put out there. Now I have to deal with it and deal with the hurt that I've caused someone by what I say. So that's just the malice within the tongue and how it can be. But like I said, it starts if we have malice in our hearts. If we deal with that, then we'll be able to deal with the tongue. Other part of it is lying and deceit. Let's look at Proverbs 12 and in verse 19. It says, truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. Look at Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17 and verse 20. It says, a man of perverse heart does not prosper. He whose tongue is deceitful falls into trouble. Look in Proverbs 21 and in verse 6. It says, a fortune made by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a deadly snare. And finally, we'll look at Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26 and in verse 28. It says, a lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Scripture said a lying tongue lasts only a moment. A deceitful tongue falls into trouble. Fortune made by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a deadly snare. And a lying tongue hates those it hurts. And the thing is, I've never associated lying with hate. That's a powerful statement. A lying tongue hates those it hurts. Because so many times I look at things and just a white lie. It's no big deal. It gets you out of trouble. You know, it makes things a whole lot easier. It's just a white lie. It's not a big deal. But it hates those it hurts. And see, for me, is that in my nature, I can easily do that. Lie and be deceitful. Easy. Just go ahead and tell a lie, especially if I'm like, oh, about to get in trouble. I'm backed up in a corner. Let me get myself out of this corner real quick and lie so I can go ahead and get out of this corner. Or paint a better picture of myself than I really am. That's where the deceit comes in. And that's my nature. That's when I knew I was studying the Bible, I knew that that's a big thing I have to repent of. And care a whole lot less, whole lot more about the way people view me and what they think of me, and about care more about truth and about righteousness, about holiness. That's what I have to care about, versus just lying and deceiving just to go ahead and make things go away. But you know, thing about it is that live a whole lot less stress-free life if you just tell the truth. Because there's been situations where I'm just like, oh man, okay, I gotta go and tell this truth. I gotta go and tell the truth. And go and tell the truth, and all of a sudden, there's mercy. Mm-hmm. There's appreciation for telling the truth. I'm thinking, wow, man, I can't believe that. I really thought that, you know, I get clamped down. I was going to be in water trouble. I was going to be looked on and, you know, it's thought as evil. I can't believe you had this happen. But tell the truth, all of a sudden, the respect comes. The appreciation comes. People think, wow, I know that was a hard thing for you to do, but I appreciate you saying that. And I appreciate you telling the truth. See, but when we look at it, though, is that when you talk about lying and deceit, you see how much it hurts God. How much it destroys what God, you know, just what God is trying to build. And like I said, is that lies are exhausting to keep up with. I remember just my wife was saying when she was growing up that all of a sudden, you know, my wife, my sister-in-law, they go in and get into trouble and they go try to tell their mom. And mom looking at them. It's like, all right, get your lie right. All they start thinking, okay, I gotta get my lie right, so let me piece this lie together real quick. And she on them, she knows it. You're lying. That's why you tell me get your lie right, because you know, like, whatever you say right now is a bunch of lies, and I know it. I got you on it. And she get them. And I just thought that was just funny and convicted, like, man, she told them to get their lie right. How you get a lie right? You know, just try to straighten it up, knowing that that's what it is. But the thing about it, too, is that learning how to show an example and learn to be an example, not only for all of the other, you know, the people that I know, but be an example for my sons. Mm-hmm. Be an example that, you know what, you can stand for your own convictions. You can tell the truth that everything will be all right. Because one of the things I remember, it was a few years ago, has to be a number of years ago now, that Ross McKenzie was doing a lesson. He was talking about parenting. And he said, one of the things that you should discipline your kids the most for is when they lie. Mm. Because you could deal with anything else, but you cannot deal with the lying. And I thought that was so convicting to me. And I said, that's true, because lying takes away love. It takes away trust. Is that if you lie, I can't believe anything that you say. That even if you are telling me the truth and you are in trouble, I don't know whether to believe you or not. And that's a horrible place to be. That's a horrible place to be when I feel like I can't trust what somebody's saying. And it's a horrible place when I feel like someone can't trust what I'm saying. But then I know that the Sunday session was talking about love is free, trust is earned. And you have to earn someone's trust. And how you earn someone's trust is by, even when things not going right, you tell the truth. That way they know, okay, what's being said out of your mouth, I can trust it. I know that it's fact. I know where it came from, that it is the truth. And I tell you, that is a very good place to be. I love being in that place. And that's why I praise God so much for changing my heart, because I love being in that place. For people to know that what I'm telling them is the truth. And they could believe it, they could trust it, they could bank on it. And I love having that respect from people. I love pleasing God by that. That God knows that God, when it's all said and done, that I'm going to tell the truth, and that God could trust me with that. What an encouraging thing to have. But I tell you, without it and just being lying and deceitful, it just tears down so many things. Because let's look real quick in John chapter 8, in verse 44, and let's see what Jesus say about lying. And in John 8, in verse 44, and this is when he's talking to the Jews who had believed him, and that's when they started confronting Jesus on things. But Jesus said, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and a father of lies. So yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me." Then Jesus said that Satan, when he speaks his native language, he is lying. Lying is his native language. So, when we lie or we're deceitful, what language are we speaking? We're speaking the devil's language. All of a sudden that white lie don't seem all that innocent and small anymore. That's why it's so important for us to be truthful and honest when we speak, and not to be deceitful, because when we're doing that, we're speaking Satan's language. And that's very convicting to me, because that's the last thing I want to do, is be associated with Satan at all. Let alone speaking his language, speaking the very language of Satan versus speaking the language of God. But that's what Jesus said, that Satan, that's his language, and whenever he speaks, that's what he's doing. And you saw that when Jesus was in the desert, that Satan was so conniving with it, he was mixing up the truth with lies, misinterpreting the scriptures, twisting things around, making it to go with what he wanted Jesus to do. And that same, but when we act that very same way, we're doing those same things. And like I said, is that we go back in James, is that that cannot be. We cannot have speaking on one side, speaking the truth and being honest, but then on the other side, speaking lies and being deceitful, because we can't have both things. And a tree will be recognized by its fruit. We can't even have a fruit of truth and a fruit of lies. No, you're going to have one or the other. Yes. And that's what's going to exist. But as we looked at that, we looked at the malice of the tongue. We also looked at just the lying and deceit of the tongue. Now let's look at some things that are encouraging about it. And one of the things I thought about encouragement is one of the things that we see in the movies. As the movie comes up, and there's all this different noise stuff that the movie screen makes, and it says, "Silence is golden." The first thing to look at is silence is golden. Look at Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs 10 and verse 19. It says, "When words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value." It says, when words are many, sin is not absent. Basically, you talk too much. It comes down to you just talk too much. That's what it's talking about. But what sins come from those words? Selfishness could come from that. You want to monopolize the conversation and don't want anybody else to say anything. Or that you don't want to listen. You're rather talking instead of listening. Pride comes in. Because pride is that what I have to say is much more important than what anybody else has to say. Arrogance. Feeling like you're better than somebody else, and what you're saying is much better than anyone else can say. But you know, sometimes as words kind of go on, and I know I see it within myself, so talking, all of a sudden, lying kicks in, and deceitfulness kicks in. All of a sudden, you start thinking, that didn't happen that way. And you start wanting to make the story better than what it really is. That's where the lying and deceit comes in. But it's great, it talks about he who holds his tongue is wise. And I always think about that, and holding the tongue, that it's wise. Look at Proverbs 11 and in verse 12. It says, a man who lacks judgment derides his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his tongue. In Proverbs 17 and in verse 28, it says, even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. And then in Proverbs 21 and in verse 23, it says, he who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity. There's a lot of wisdom in holding your tongue. What I always think about is that I've seen people do it, and it's funny, a lot of times it's the older folks. Sit there quiet. Don't say much. Just listening and listening and listening. And then all of a sudden, they have something to say. It's like, Austin's person has something to say, and everybody leans in. Because they know that this person, oh, they're about to use us, and they're about to say something. All of a sudden, something is said, and just the wisest things come out. And everybody's like, wow. Impactful. Amazing. And that's because they don't say a whole lot. When I thought about that, and thinking about that, I thought of my grandmother. My grandmother's that way. My grandmother don't say a whole lot. You know, she'll kind of talk and you can have a conversation with her. But boy, the stuff that comes out is just wise. You know, my family, we'll get together once a month and we'll have a prayer call. Well, all over the country, we'll get on a conference call line and we'll pray together. And then as it opens up, they ask my grandmother to say something. You know, so she's the matriarch. My grandfathers, both of them have passed away even before I was born. And so she's the matriarch, about to turn 90 years old. Can you say something for to us? And just, all you do is just say something. It takes probably less than a minute for her to say it. And I'm like, you know what? That's all I need. I'm done. I can take this tied to a scripture, and that's all I need. That's all the sermon I need right there. It's just what my grandmother said, just that brief. That's what it talks about. She didn't have to go on for 15, 20 minutes. She just said a few things. And within those few things, there's just so much wisdom packed in it. And that's because I think a lot of wisdom came in because she spent a lot of time. If you don't spend a lot of time talking, you spend a lot of time listening and hearing things. And some things you hear, you think, ooh, that's not wise. And other things you hear, ooh, that's very wise. And you can take in those things. That's why I appreciate that sometimes. Sometimes, you know what, it's just good for me to just shut up and be quiet and just to listen. And then I feel like I can pick up so much more. But it talks about even the scriptures that even a fool could be thought wise if he holds his tongue. Because there have been people I've seen where really didn't know what they were talking about. They just sat there quiet and just listened. Shook their head and listened, wrote their notes or whatever, and said, you know what, I understand a word that was being said in there. I understand much at all. But you know what? Nobody looked at them as they were a fool. No one looked at them as a fool because they just sat silent. Instead of trying to raise their hand or trying to say something and trying to sound eloquent, they're just like, don't understand at all what's being said. That's what it talks about, is just being silent sometimes. And that's where God works in being able to do that, is just you being able to gain wisdom. And it also, just by being a little silent like that, it helps you to not say things out of emotions. That sometimes it's good just to pause and say nothing at all. Sometimes it's good to do that. And think about things and analyze it, try to figure out what is the best thing to say. What's the wisest thing to say? By that time, your emotions calm down, and then you really could say things, and it could have so much impact. And it don't have to be a lot of words that's being said. And that's a challenge, because sometimes when I find out something wise to say, I got to go on for 5-10 minutes. I got to go on. I got to just keep on spilling all my wisdom, keep on spilling all my wisdom. Like, you know what? I could have shut up about 5 minutes ago, and it's still going to have the very same impact. And how valuable is that? And I always appreciate when people do that, because I know the little bit that they say, I need to get something out of that, because I know there's going to be some wisdom tied into that. Another positive thing about the tongue is speaking the truth in love. Look in Proverbs chapter 15 and in verse 4. You know, I absolutely love this scripture where it says, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. But it says about the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life. Let's look at another one in Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12 and in verse 25. It says, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. Your tongue can be used to bring healing. Think about that. There's so many different things that people go through. And then sometimes things happen to people in the past that they may be reflecting on right now and it's still bringing sadness to their heart. But how encouraging could it be that you could be a tree of light to them by just speaking kind words, by speaking encouraging words, by sharing good news, by encouraging others, by using your tongue, your mouth to pray for people. And the great thing, too, is about sharing the good news. Because remember, we have the good news. The good news of Jesus Christ and the resurrection, that's the good news. And there are people out there that go through suffering each and every day, go through all kinds of things, and what they really need to have shared with them is the good news. And that's what it should be, because that's what it is. But to do that, and to be that, to go and to encourage somebody, by saying things that are very positive and very encouraging. And you know what? Sometimes it takes thought to do that. Because sometimes we're not having the greatest day ourselves. But to think about those things and be encouraged by it. And look in Proverbs chapter 25 and look in verse 15. Another one I think is very interesting scripture, but it says, through patience, a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. I thought, how ironic is that? A gentle tongue can break a bone. Sometimes we don't recognize the strength in gentleness, the strength in love, the strength in being positive. That's not the world's thinking. Gentleness is weak, it's meek, it's you get walked on, get walked over. This gentleness is nothing good about gentleness. The world can think that so much. But right here the scripture says that a gentle tongue can break a bone. And like I said, that there's so many things that people can be healed from. And that they're going through struggles and fights and battles and just so many things they're going through, but just a gentle answer, some encouragement, a smile, all of that could just brighten somebody's day, just encourage them so much, you know? And we have that. Because the thing about it is that no matter what challenges we go through, that Jesus is with us, God is with us, and instead of comfort us, is able to take that burden off of us. Don't have Jesus, you don't have that. You have that weight sitting on you, and you just got to carry that around. But with God will take that from you. So therefore, you could have a lighter load than others and be able to share those things and be able to give those things to others. This is talks about in speaking the truth in love and using our tongue for that, even if it means even trying to snatch somebody from the fire. You can still do that with very stern words, but at the same time being loving and staying there with them and to help pull them out versus just tearing into them and slapping them around and thinking, okay, that'll get them straight, to really pull them through, you know, even in the toughest situations. So that's what we talk about here, is about the tongue. You know, the tongue can be malicious. The tongue can be full of lying and deceit, and it comes from the heart. But then with the tongue too, is that sometimes it's good to use it less. Sometimes it works well that way, or it can be used to really encourage, to inspire somebody. And I want to end with this scripture in Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18 and in verse 21. It says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I pray so much that through this lesson that all of us, including myself, will not use the tongue for death, but really could use it for the power of life. Mm-hmm. And that we can love it and will eat its fruit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray at this time. We're going to do a prayer. Then we have a great time of fellowship. Father, thank you so much for your scriptures. How the scriptures can be used to really convict, inspire, encourage, help us to draw closer to you. I pray so much, God, that we truly will be the tree that you have called us to be, that we won't be a tree that says, good news that we love Jesus, but at the same time we're full of malice, we're full of lying and deceit. Pray so much, God, you can get that out of our hearts, that we will have hearts that will be wise, that will say wise things with few words, that will say wise things just by us being gentle, loving, encouraging, being all those things. Father, I know that you can create us to be that. And I thank you so much for the ways you've helped us to change. And I know, God, you will continually work on us to change and to become more and more like Jesus each and every day. Thank you so much for working just through these scriptures. And thank you so much, like I said again, for your word. It is amazing. It is incredible. It is all we need for life. And I thank you so much for you showing that to us, that we can use it to change our lives so that we can truly live for your glory, God. Thank you so much once again for your blessings. Thank you so much for all you give us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.